Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Outspoken with White and Jordan. 100% engagement.
It's a total disrespect.
Download, stand well back, listen.
Jim White and Simon Jordan.
I don't see that view.
Outspoken with White and Jordan. From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
Hi, this is Jim White, and thanks for listening to Outspoken with White and Jordan. On today's episode, myself and Simon discuss the reports that Manchester United's takeover could be in danger of collapse. However, Simon explains that he thinks it's just a natural part of the bidding process. We also look ahead to England's match against Italy and question whether or not Gareth Southgate and Harry Maguire are good enough to take England forward. Now, before I forget, I mean, normally I have a chat on the way around the road, Simon, as you know, to a few listeners of our show, a few of the viewers. This morning, I have to say, took the biscuit. I had about four or five different conversations. It seems everybody saw your tussle with Eddie Hearn the other day. Abbas, if you're listening, my friend, you love the show. I'm thrilled about that. He was in a gym watching it, as were most of the people in a gym. And everybody was late back for work because they were debating who came out on top, what was said, how well did Simon do, how well did Eddie do. Honestly, the fallout from this has been remarkable.
I imagine it's quite an intriguing story. I mean, what I would urge people to do is go and perhaps look at Adam Cattrall's podcast called The Fight Disciples.
Yeah.
And then you can evaluate exactly what Eddie Hearn did and didn't say, and exactly how much integrity and substance behind what he said was. Because yeah, you've got a very... I looked at it this morning because I saw someone post it and looked at it, and Adam Cattrall and his Fight Disciples podcast have gone through line by line everything that Eddie Hearn said. Very interesting. Pretty much what I already know, but then again, I don't know as much as Eddie, of course, because I wouldn't do, because he's been a boxing promoter for 20 years.
Yeah.
But what I can tell you is it'll break it down for those that are interested if they want to actually understand the reality of what the situation is.
Well, what Eddie is saying in the last hour, if Fury against Usyk doesn't get made, and we now know that that's going to be off,
yeah,
and AJ gets past Franklin, Fury versus AJ, Wilder versus Usyk, winner v winner for undisputed.
Look, I mean, I don't know about you, but I find the business of sport quite interesting and quite intriguing, having been in it. Mm. I find the more I look at it, despite my absolute enthusiasm for this sport, the more I find boxing quite an unpalatable space of disingenuity and people that say they're going to do something and never seem to do it. And I don't think I've ever seen anything like it. I know it's show business. I know that all the moving parts are difficult for people to put together. But there's such an undeserving sport because these guys are getting paid inordinate amounts of money. They're living on currency, which most of the time is talk.
Yeah.
Most of the time they don't tell the truth. And when they do, and when you confront them with not telling the truth, they blather or try and BS you around it. And now you've got fights that can't be made. And it is wrong. And what you start seeing is you're going to see spaces being creeped in for sports like UFC and MMA to start taking the mantle, because people are going to say, well, at least I know where I stand with that sport. And
well,
then you're
going
to see
right.
People like Dana White,
yeah,
that are going to turn around and say, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll get involved in boxing because these guys are clowns.
Yeah, sure. Well, you might be right about that, Simon, because Dana White's been speaking overnight in the US, and we'll get to that later on. Anyway, Gareth A. Davis is going to join us, and we will talk boxing from 11:30, is it? Yeah, 11:30 this morning. Simon, what's going on with Manchester United and this takeover? Is a Manchester United takeover on a collision course for collapse, or are we seeing negotiation tactics being played out? As far as I gather, and I'm trying to look through all of this at the moment, Sir Jim Ratcliffe and the Qataris in the form of Sheikh Yassim are in there. It appears both have bid, not enough, go away, have a think, come back.
Yep.
Both are going to come back, but both have requested more time.
Yeah.
And it's my understanding they've been given more time with no new deadline. The Qataris asked for an extension first. Sir Jim then asked for an extension yesterday. If the apparently, the latest is, if the Glazers get what they want, if the price is right, they will definitely sell.
But we've always said that, haven't we? We've always said from the get-go that if they get what they want, forget about the fact that they'll play hide-and-seek with themselves. If they get the price that they want, and it's probably, like I've said for a number of times, slightly north of 5 million, it certainly isn't 5 billion, certainly isn't 7 billion. Now, there's a lot of misrepresentation in this. No one's getting extensions because ultimately no one expected anyone to put a drop-dead deal in place. What you've got is indicative offers. That's the first stage. Show you've got the money, show you've got the means, show you've got the will, right? That gets you in the door. So that then slims down the list from all the tire kickers. Then you get a position where people start to get into a competitive tension, which basically means the Rain Group are doing their ultimate job, which is the representation of the Glazers, trying to jack the price up between the various people that want to buy it and keep pushing them together to create a competitive tension to jack the price up. It's not about deadlines. There's a process of selling a business. The reasons why this is finding so much yin and yang in it is because the media are pulling at the strings and the Rain Group are using the media to create the competitive tension.
You need some kind of deadline.
Surely. Not really, because...
It can drag on into the summer.
Hold on. If we established a point, it can drag on as long as it wants to until the Glazers get their price, right? Because this is not set by deadlines. It's not set by an administrator saying, if you don't pay this bill, the club's going to go into administration. This is set by commercial gain. And if it takes 6 months to sell a business because you're playing two sides against one another, that's what it'll take. What you have is you have an indicative position, then you have a schedule of how you'd like to complete this deal. And during that schedule, people will be looking at the books, they'll be looking at the market positioning, they'll be looking at the structuring, they'll be looking at the delisting of Man United from the New York Stock Exchange. There'll be a whole raft of things. They might even be looking at the additional need for additional funding from other funders that come in to supplement the deal so they can go back to the table with a bigger offer. All of that will be going in the background. And then you'll have a schedule of people trying to complete the deal in a certain timeline. But it will not be hard and fast deadlines. It will not be the extension of deadlines because there won't be a deadline. There'll be a wish list of how we would like to sell this business.
Right.
And that's how it will work.
Well, here's a fairly straightforward question, though. What happens to Manchester United's transfer window if the takeover saga extends into the summer?
Nothing. Manchester United is a going concern, generating £400 or £500 million a year, and they'll spend what they spend. And if they spend £200 million in the transfer window, and the new owners coming in get the benefit of that, then maybe they'll add that to the price.
So if the new owner isn't in, I mean, it's almost inconceivable to think. But if he's not in by the next window, doesn't really matter.
Well, it will not make one scintilla of difference unless you believe that Manchester United are going to do what Todd Bowley did, which is create a new economic model of spending £600 million in 3 months. If you believe the new owners are going to do that, then maybe you have a case, but they're not, because that whole dynamics of football financing and football financial fair play is about to change anyway. So it will not, Manchester United will not have one scintilla of impact besides the last chance saloon gang that will be saying, we want the Glazers out.
Yeah.
And when you get the next guys in that don't do precisely what you want them to do, because they will not, they'll be the next one to be told to get out as well.
I'm getting some information on this as we speak. And I'll put it to you, you can bounce it back at me. Only the Glazers know the asking price, correct?
Of course.
Even some of the top advisors don't know exactly how much they want. Would that be right?
Well, what you want is as much as you can bleed and will get, and you will move the goalposts. If someone says to me, well, I remember thinking when I'm going to sell my business, I'll take 70 million quid. The moment I got to 70, I thought I'll have 80. And the moment I got to 80, I thought I'll have 90. And the moment I got to 90, I thought I'll have 100, and I'll keep on going till the silly buggers stop bidding.
You do know you owe me 20 quid. The working assumption is that they want 6 billion.
I've always felt, and we've said it, and you go back through the audio that we've done over the last 6 months on this, I've said this is a £5 to £6 billion deal. If it gets any bigger than that, it's going to fall out of bed, people are going to have their pants pulled down and they're not going to do it. And even at 5 billion, people are breaking their own necks.
You see, this is what worries a lot of Man United fans, though, Simon. Lots of proposals are for minority stakes or a simple offer of financing. So in other words, not for outright control, because there's pessimism that the Glazers will sell even if they don't think, we wanted more, but we're not going to get more, so we'll just sell. They're not going to do that.
But here's the thing, Jim. Why don't you worry about things that you can actually affect, right?
Right.
If the Glazers are going to take a minority shareholding because it suits them best, guess what you're going to be able to do, Man United fans? Bugger all, right? So the bottom line is the less the Glazers have control over Manchester United's stock, the more they start to move their position from majority shareholders, inch by inch, yard by yard, the nearer you are to a destination of getting them out. In your ideal world, somebody comes in and says, here's 5.5 or 6 billion quid on the nail, we'll give it to you tomorrow, and out go the Glazers. In the real world, what's going to happen is you might have a deal that goes nowhere near that. You might have a change of mind from the Glazers. They might play hard ball with themselves and say, not until we get reports. Or you might have people buying minority shares, but they're all up for grabs. But the bottom line now, what's happening is you're getting, with due respect, uneducated sports journalists pontificating on how a commercial deal is held together. Put this in the Financial Times and ask the Financial Times journalists to tell you how a deal is held together, and they'll give you a completely different story of blow by blow. Dun, 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 which is sports journalism sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, you have to...
Not you, I'm not talking about you.
Oh,
I'm talking
very
about,
kind of
but, I'm talking about
you,
someone else.
But you have to be advised by people who you regard as a credible source. And that
Correct.
Might be somebody at the Rain Group, that might be somebody close to the deal, that might be somebody
and,
close
and
to
the Rain Group are stoking And the Rain Group are stoking the tensions because their job is to keep everybody at it, on it, across it, keep Man United on the front page of the newspaper, because the bigger the juice on Man United, the potential bigger outcome they can get for their ultimate client, which is the Glazers.
Is it as simple as this? If Sir Jim bids X and the Qataris bid Y, and Y is a quarter of a billion more than Sir Jim,
depends on
does
the
that mean the Qataris get
depends
it?
Depends on the conditionality of it. Depends upon how the deal might be structured. Depends upon a variety of things. This isn't just a basically, here's a box of chocolates, they're worth 10 quid, I'll pay 12 quid for them, off you go with that box of chocolates. There's a far more complicated, complex set of scenarios yeah. involved in this.
Yeah.
So it does require a whole raft of structuring, so it'll take some time.
Who eventually reined you in? Because when you got your first bid for your mobile phone company,
Vodafone.
Was it about 40 million?
Yeah, Vodafone reined me in when I decided to chance it just one time too many and said, I haven't told you about this, that I'm selling the business given the fact I'm your biggest connector in the country, but now I'm going to sell it to one-to-one. Do you fancy buying it for 110 million? And they turned around and said, no, thank you, go away. And now I knew that I'd reached the end of the road because I'd spent the last 3 months telling one-to-one that everyone else was bidding against them and that all they were doing was bidding against themselves.
Oh, you got them going against each
yeah,
other?
Yeah, the perfect auction.
All right, and when you got to 100 million, you thought, I should really quit now, I've done all
no,
right.
No, I didn't. There was no. I couldn't rinse another penny out of it. They didn't. Even they didn't believe my lies.
Your 100% essential download.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Morning, everybody. It's kind of like deja vu, isn't it? England, Italy tonight, and it's live on Talk Sport. So they're at it again. It's a repeat of the Euro 2020 final. And of course, we all know what happened then, don't we? When it looked like England were going to get there, Italy won it on penalties. And that still hurts so many England fans everywhere. So now a chance for revenge tonight as England get their 2024 campaign started under Gareth Southgate. Declan Rice is in there. He'll play. Of course he will. And he's been saying, don't worry about us when it comes to motivation tonight. See, I like Declan and he's making the right noises.
Yeah, talk cheap though, isn't it?
Well, here's the thing, Simon. After what happened in Russia, the semi-finals stage of the World Cup when they went out to Croatia.
Yep.
We'll learn from that.
Yes.
The next World Cup. And I know this sounds like a bitter Scot just having a dig at England, but I'm not. Well, did they learn from that? No, we all go to Qatar and England went out.
Well, they did learn from it because they got to the semi-finals of a World Cup and they got to the finals of a European Championships. And for once, potentially on paper, they got knocked out of a tournament, albeit we think they should have beaten the French and the opportunity to do so. They got knocked out by, for once in a tournament, on paper, someone that you really don't expect to be able to beat, which was the French side. So you can take something from it, but that's us being generous. because when you're in the international football, the business of international football, and you are the, one of the leading nations in the world, and you don't win tournaments for 50, 60 years,
yeah.
and you get opportunities to land in the final stages with very favourable draws, the lesson that you can learn is how to win. And I don't believe that we have a winner in our dugout. And so that, for me, takes out the component that no one can ever program into anything in life, which is that X factor that makes somebody different from another person, which makes Mancini be able to outthink Southgate on the side of a touchline to win a European Championship final.
I'm quite sure Gareth is desperate to be a winner.
Of course he is.
Desperate to be recognised as a winner.
But we're all desperate to do things. That doesn't mean we can. You know, and the key component is one thing, you know, we can all be busy fools. The object of the aim is to be winners. And there's only a few of them about. And when you see them, you've got to hang on to them for grim death.
What do you see this as tonight? Is tonight the start of a new dawn, or is it the start of a final one for Southgate?
I think it's probably more the same. I don't think we're going to, you know, unless someone's going to have a personality transplant, we're going to see probably the same. And given the nature of the game and given the opposition, it'll be a difficult game. The environment will also play a part because it's quite a hostile place to be, and all the background noise behind the game has created a temperature that will probably be ramped up even higher by the Italians reading their own press.
Yeah.
I don't expect anything of them. If England win, I wouldn't be surprised. I know this sounds ridiculously uninformative, but if they win, I wouldn't be surprised. If they lost, I wouldn't be surprised. If they drew and bored the pants off us, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, but you see, this might surprise you. Victory tonight in England, in Italy, will mean only Sir Alf Ramsey has been quicker to a half century of wins in charge of England.
That's great.
He's got England into a good position.
And that's great.
When it comes to the stats.
And it's fair to say that if we want to, we can all use stats to make an argument in our favour, or we can dissect the opposition that we played against and compare and contrast. If we want to do a proper analysis of how people have done as England managers, get the opposition, put them line for line against one another and say, what did Alf Ramsey do against the opposition, and what did Gareth Southgate do against his opposition? I don't think playing some of the pub sides that we played in World Cup qualifiers and European Championship qualifiers suggest that we are ultimately seeing a new dawn with Gareth Southgate. What we've seen is a far more media-centric football manager that relates to an ability to be able to communicate better. Right, we've had previous managers that are at odds with the English media, that are at odds with everything, and find themselves in a totally... So remember the old Yellow Pages adverts where, you know, Bobby Robson phoned up Graham Taylor and Graham Taylor phoned up Terry Venables and sent him a cake with a lion's head in it. That was the perception of the England manager's job. Now Gareth Southgate's managed to smooth that, iron those creases out, and find a better way to communicate. But it's beginning to turn again because people are saying that they're not comfortable with what Southgate does. We are in the last hurrah. We cannot not be. Because if we'll qualify, if we don't qualify...
So if you're in the last hurrah, does that not unite everybody? Does that not unite every England fan, the England media, even the Gareth Naysayers like you?
Or does it make you a lame duck? Right? Because ultimately, on one hand, we say in domestic football, if people's contracts are running down, you know they're in the last hurrah, then what do players play for them for? In this instance, we're in the last hurrah from the point of view we cannot have the Gareth Southgate apologists and sympathisers, the Danny Mills of the world that pop out of the ether with their uninformed nonsense, that tell us that ultimately he's a winner. So with that in mind, winning means winning. So we are in a situation now...
I'm just counting down.
But we're in a situation now where the last hurrah means you need to win this tournament coming up. Anything other than winning this tournament has to be, with due respect and no agenda attached to it, the end of the conversation.
Is it your belief England will win the tournament?
Not while I've got a hole in my backside, no.
Oh, thank you for that.
Sorry,
quite graphic.
There's an image for you all. Talking about backsides, how's it going for you?
That was a lovely image. I must admit, I think now, that more than ever before, I would have to say that amongst the players, there will be almost an irresistible drive and desire to win a tournament because this is probably the final one for Gareth.
And so let's have this right. You believe that the deep-seated sentiment these players will have is that we must do it for our Gareth. We're so committed to our Gareth that there will be no stone unturned. There'll be no barriers. There'll be no obstacles he won't overcome. Rubbish. They'll revert to type. They'll do what they do. And if they do what they do better, then they'll win something. Mm. The $64 million question
they
is...
They convince him to stay, remember?
Please, don't be so bloody silly. What convinced him to say is the fact that he's got a very good job in the England manager setup. There is a level of competency and a level of ambition in Gareth Southgate that's propelled him into a position where he was a really rather average centre-half that got himself into the England setup. And here we are now as an England manager. So with all that in mind, of course Gareth Southgate's got balls. Of course he's got substance. But we're not interested in all that. What we're interested in, has he got the ability to win something?
And do you think now going into this that at last he will? He'll show that?
No, you know I don't.
Okay. Italy against England is live in TalkSport tonight. Incidentally, what did you have for your breakfast this morning?
Nothing.
You are flying, boy. It's when you wear that
coffee.
Pink handkerchief.
All right.
That's the one that seems to fire you up.
100% engagement.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
What am I seeing? Gee, whiz, the texts are flying in after you had your take on Italy-England tonight and what it means for England longer term. There is a Middlesbrough fan, I respect Simon's view, but as a Borough fan of 30 years, to say that Southgate was an average centre-half is an absolutely ridiculous statement. Had he been playing for one of the top clubs, reproducing his form at Middlesbrough, he would have been in one of the top three centre-halves in the country.
And that's right. And if my aunt was my uncle... But he wasn't playing for one of the top clubs. He was playing for Middlesbrough. And the reason why he's playing for Middlesbrough is because none of the top clubs wanted him. So how'd you square that circle then?
Yeah, but I mean, what is it? I think you just don't fancy centre-halves, do you? I mean, you've had a...
I do. I fancy. I mean, one of the most eye-opening things for me was seeing John Terry play against Palace in a friendly game in 2002 when he was only just establishing himself in the Chelsea team. And I looked at him and thought, what a Rolls Royce that is. Can I have him alone, please, Ken? And he told me to go forth and multiply.
Mm.
So I do like good centre-halves. I think good centre-halves are as rare as rocking horse.
Yeah, I mean, the first sentence of your much-read column in the Daily Mail this morning, Harry Maguire, a mediocre centre-half, being picked by a man who knows all about being mediocre centre-half,
there you go,
will be in England's team sheet tonight.
Yes. Is that not a fair analysis?
That's constructive, isn't it?
I think
constructive analysis.
I think it's honest and to the point. We can all dress
mediocre.
Yeah, of course he's mediocre.
In your time at Palace, did you ever have a centre half who was as good as Harry Maguire?
No, but then Palace were a mediocre side, and Palace still are a mediocre side. We're talking about elite sides. We're talking about the best in the country. We're talking about the idea that Harry. What I'm actually doing is praising Harry Maguire for not having the same attitude as some of these players at Down Tools. I'm saying to him, for the first time in his career, he's actually playing for an elite manager. I may have made fun of Ten Hag's suit, but the guy is potentially showing the fact he's an elite manager. Maguire's never played for one. He's played for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Forget that one. That's not an elite manager. He's played for the Leicester guys that weren't elite managers at the time. He's gone into England. He's not playing for an elite manager now. First time he's an elite manager, guess what? He ain't in the team.
I mean, I don't really want to highlight your column because I don't really want anybody reading it. But the headline then, Simon says, why Maguire has earned my respect.
Ah, there you are then, see? See, focus on the positive. He's earned my respect because he's trying to find his way back into the side rather than throwing his tools down, looking to nick a living like people like Winston Bogard did once upon a time,
right,
looking to behave like people like Ryan Fraser, the old turd boy, and get himself into a situation where he doesn't behave in a fashion that's appropriate and commit himself to trying to prove other people wrong. He's stayed there. He's trying to play in the Man United team. He's trying to prove people like me potentially wrong. I've said it and I'll say it again. I think he turns like an ocean liner. I think he's a very big centre-half that would be doing very well at a certain level, but he ain't no Man United centre-half for the long term to win things with.
And you'll need to have a chat with your sub-editor.
Another popularity contest I'm winning.
Is the headline not a bit misleading? Simon says why Maguire has earned my respect.
No, because the summary is, as you will well know, being an established journalist, you have an introduction, you have a summary and a conclusion. The introduction is why I think he's mediocre. The summary is to give you a background behind it. And the conclusion is that I think he deserves some respect for trying to push back against it, trying to play, always being available, coming on for 2 minutes in FA Cup ties when he's called upon. So I think that deserves respect. In a strange, sort of through a looking glass way.
Yeah, it's a very good column. I must admit, I was distracted halfway through.
I had a good go at your old Sky Mob for being hypocrites.
Oh, really?
For all their anti discrimination stuff by promoting the backside out of the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix. Hypocrites.
Mm.
I had a go at the old dullard, Alan Shearer,
for
his little outburst on Saturday about being, we're put in a position we didn't want to let the country down, but you don't know what the difficulty of it was for us. Preposterous tripe.
What has Lee Clinton done at the Daily
Mail
by giving
it's
you a
dangerous,
call?
It's dangerous, isn't it?
Welcome to the Coliseum of Confrontation.
Outspoken with White and Jordan. From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
Thanks for listening to Outspoken with White and Jordan. Please leave us a review wherever you get your podcast. We'll be back each weekday to bring you the best of the show.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.